We are primates that have discovered fire, and we're going to figure out ways to hurt ourselves. And that's what's going on with artificial intelligence. I mean, ChatGPT comes into the zeitgeist. It's right in our face day in, day out. We want to figure out how to use it for our jobs, and all these companies want to capitalize on it. We now have NVIDIA, who's creating the GPUs and is just continually making these massive leaps in their overall market valuation because they are the ones with the GPUs to run the computations for all of these monster players like OpenAI now and slash Microsoft, Google, and everyone else that's trying to get out there in front, in your face, and just be a part of your everyday life so you can't live without it. And we're hurting ourselves, and these companies are trying to figure it out, but there's a big problem. Let's take a step back and let's understand that artificial intelligence is supposed to make our lives easier, to reduce the mundane tasks, or to provide assistance in things that we don't have competencies to do, in sort of like a data analysis or being able to just aggregate and summarize a bunch of case law if you're working for a law firm, and just a whole number of things. The big issue now is, what am I getting? Is it completely neutral? Unbiased? Is it the right information? Is it accurate? And now we're at a point where we just don't know. And I don't want to really talk too much about the underlying issues with what's going on with Google Gemini. If you haven't heard about it, if you were to ask it for images, like in this one, of Nazis, for example. I mean, the whole Nazi culture was built on the Aryan race. We know that they were white. In the eyes of Hitler, blonde hair, blue eyes was the master race. And that's neither here nor there. But if you were to ask Google Gemini to generate by AI, it would come up with images that just otherwise are inaccurate depictions, don't exist. And I don't know why you would do that. I think people were just really trying to push the envelope on how far Google's Gemini would go to impute diversity into the output. I don't know if this article actually has other ones, but people were asking about, you know, give me an image of the Pope. The Pope in throughout history has been a white male. That's just factual without imputing any sort of your own diversity beliefs. That's just the facts that if you want to get an image of that, that's what should be outputted. And people just weren't getting that. So Google has to take a step back and reevaluate. And a bunch of videos came out with people that were part of the Gemini project speaking on diversity, why their beliefs were imputed into the system. And it's all in their own belief that they're what they're doing is right. And that part of it, it's neither here nor there. The only danger from our lives in general is if we want to find value in these tools and we want to move forward and we want to get the right information, you can't really have someone's own bias in whatever subject matter. Diversity, equity, inclusion, just that's besides the point. It's anything. Like if I were to build out my own personal gender pre-trained transformer model that you want to speak into and you were to ask, what's the greatest college football team in the world? You should get something along the lines of it's very biased, yada, 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 without any sort of, you know, answer. But if I were to impute my own bias, I would tell you it's University of Texas, the Texas Longhorns. And now what do we have to work with here? I'm telling you as if it's factual based on this artificial intelligence model that I created, or, you know, what's the greatest baseball team, the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, I'm right, you know, by all facets, but that's not what you would want out of a model. And that's when we reach these problems. And for a monster company like Google, Alphabet, whatever you want to call them, they know this. They know that there are these problems with generative AI. There's quality control and data accuracy I was talking about. There's ethical and legal concerns when we're going to the DE&I aspect. Some of it is technical, power hungry, computational problem. Mindless parroting stuff, hallucinations, copyright infringement. But really, when we're talking about the human impact of an effective machine learning model, it can't have someone's bias input in it. We still have humans at the wheel, creating these models, creating their own policies behind how they're driven, and then they become useless. So as a reaction, you know, Google takes Gemini off the market. Like right now, I can't go on here and say, please generate an image of the Pope. We use that example, and it's going to tell me, unfortunately, I can't generate images at this time. However, I can help you find some images of the Pope online. Because it's reactionary. The public has spoken, and they have found that the current model is useless in their eyes for generating the proper images that they're needing. Whereas if you were to go to, let's say, ChatGPT, and I could say, please generate an image of the Pope. It's creating an image. We are waiting. And we should see an image come up at any time. And there you go. Here's an image of a figure dressed in traditional papal attire set against the backdrop of St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. And that's the image that we would expect. Now, it's not all about what we expect being the output, because we expect the machine learning model to go and do all the aggregation of the appropriate data to have the output that we need in order to understand the generation of the image, right? We could have some predetermined bias, but that's not always the case. That's why we rely on the data science, the aggregation of the data, and unbiased outputs from whatever model we're using. And it's because this is what we're trying to achieve in some aspects of life. This is like the hierarchy of what we want out of, well, I mean, we as in the general consensus in some aspects, right? We don't want Skynet to be coming after us. But if you're listening, what I'm looking at is a chart. And right now we're at the bottom. We're in this area of these chatbots of called artificial narrow intelligence, where it's doing some things very, very well, but in a narrow aspect. What companies like OpenAI and everybody else is trying to get to is this next level. As an example in this chart, they have HAL 9000 from 2001 A Space Odyssey. And it's AI that is equal to human intelligence. It can do various tasks, but it's more in line with probably, you know, to begin with, a lower IQ or the average person. And then we go up to this artificial super intelligence where it's doing things better than we want. That would be in the aspect of like autopilot, for example, with Tesla. Like, we want it to be completely unbiased and take the right decisions from all the data that it has in order to make everyone safer as they drive. If someone was imputing their own bias on how they would react in a certain situation, that would be incredibly dangerous for people that are relying on the autonomy of the program and the piloting to really drive us, keep us safe from point A to point B. And then we're not going to use it. We're not going to want it. And people are just going to continually be skeptical about the technology. But that's not what happens. For example, with the supercomputer Dojo that Tesla has here, I actually think it's here in Austin, Texas, is it's aggregating all of the information from people that are driving Teslas, and it's not autopilot, it's people that are actually making day-to-day decisions, finding the best decisions based on all the data points. And if you're listening here, what I'm looking at is a depiction of what data looks like, utilizing computer vision and data points and spatial awareness and everything else, and it'll go into the supercomputer, analyze it, and it'll continually learn through whatever model that it decides to use on their end to make the right decisions with as much accuracy. And we want to get to the point where it is better than any human could possibly drive. Now, again, if you want to impute your own biases on how you would react in a situation where perhaps there's a dog that's crossing the road and you have a child crossing the road and you have to make a split decision because you're going 60 miles an hour and for whatever reason these are converging, then it gets really dangerous. It needs to understand what's the right answer. That also, just off the top of my head, kind of reminds me of the scene in I, Robot at the beginning where Will Smith is drowning and he's saying, save the boy, and the robot saying, well, you have the higher probability of living, so I'm going to save you. And that could be very dangerous. And I can understand how you would get more into this realm of the ethical and legal considerations, complexities, and all that. There's just no right answer. But us as humans are making these calculations on the fly with no data to back up our decisions most of the time. And it's just, it is what it is. We are apes out here playing with fire, hurting ourselves, figuring out ways to use it. And it's just going to continually be that way as new things come up like this. And I think overall, just based on the fact that Google had to pull off the image generation of Gemini, that the world is doing a decent job of policing where the general public and the consensus of the general public, not everyone's agreeing, is creating the court of public opinion where these companies are going back and they are reiterating. So when you go back here, you know, right now, I personally, for my own usage, I pay for X, I pay for OpenAI, and I do not pay for Gemini because, well, maybe a little too much bias from what I've seen, not only in the realm of generation, but there are use cases. Like, I'll go back here on a book, Musashi, haven't read it in a few years, was trying to recall some of the information, didn't rely upon this. I think there's some stuff in here that is maybe not 100% correct based on what I recall, but it was enough information to get me to where I could recall better some of what I read. And in order of what I've seen, I think this, it makes sense. Like, my experience so far has been that I enjoy using Grok for finding research because it relies upon so much information from people that have input their information and just tweeted things out, or X, I don't know what the right word is anymore, but I mean, they have just so much information to train their data sets on. And when you have someone at the top with a very fundamental understanding of what artificial intelligence is, having run an artificial intelligence company prior with Tesla, he understands that you need unbiased, objective outputs for developing something that's going to be of use. So if you blindfolded me and you saw the outputs, then you would just see that, like, for me, that I prefer Grok. And then OpenAI, I actually pay because I'm doing a lot of learning and programming with AI. I do pay for GPT-4. And then lastly, I don't rely too much on Gemini. So these companies are going to quickly realize that if people aren't using their product, that they need to remove as much bias as possible and make something that people are actually going to use. And it's going to be a constant trial and error and iteration. And someone may come completely out of left field. If you just go back and think about Google, for example, I mean, search engines were around forever. I used to use AltaVista back in the day, InfoSeek. I think when I had Earthlink, and we're talking probably in the 98, that they had their own default search engine, and there was bias. There was ways that these web crawlers or the algorithms that they developed were sourcing the search results that you would get. And ultimately what people found was that the way Google did it, where you couldn't game the system, for example. So if I recall, and you got to imagine I was 9 at the time, but I was already really getting into this because I just found it so fascinating that you figure out ways. It still works this way. There are experts that are focused in search engine optimization, but there was some very elementary ways to get around it where people would use white text or hide it within their HTML, a keyword that they wanted people to hit on, and just use it multiple times and just hide it, nest it where it did absolutely nothing. You put it on like a commentary line, but the way that the web crawlers would work, it would go in there and it would see that this keyword just keeps repeatedly coming up. So it must equate to whatever the person searching wants from the search results. Google wasn't doing that. They were using more context of the subject matter, leveraging the way people interacted with the search results to be able to build a better algorithm, a much simpler one with a simple interface. And that's why they're worth so much money now, because people gravitated towards it today. It's still, despite me not wanting to use Google, I use Google Chrome web browser, and I really enjoy the Google search engine to this day. So that's just what we're going to see. These artificial intelligence interfaces with the GPT models are just going to become that next iteration of what we want in a search engine, where we don't have to siphon through stuff. We want the resources that it relies upon, but we want more information in our face. And now there's just a bunch of back and forth, and we'll get there. Someone, again, could come out of left field and show us something that we love. And they're, I'll tell you what, with these massive investments, there's reason to do it. So it is a great time. Despite the biases and stuff we're seeing, this is an exciting time for our quote-unquote fourth industrial revolution. And I'm personally excited to see what's next. It's just, you got to be very careful. If you are personally in your work or in your life working with artificial intelligence models and you want the value and maximum benefit from them, just make sure that they're not imputing anyone's bias. Data is data. That's why we build these models. Because we can't just assume things. We want to rely upon, you know, accuracy. Some of these, you know, when you're building out some sort of forecasting model with machine learning and it has like 82% accuracy, then, you know, that's just talking about like the variance in the data, the output of what's forecasted, rely upon either the actual or, you know, if you're doing a regression model, the line of best fit. So it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better than our own assumptions. So just want to talk about that. A lot of philosophical things that come around these artificial intelligence models, but you know, if they're going to be artificial intelligence, just like human intelligence, that's just going to be the battle that we have.